So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
There are too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom reaching you loud and clear on the alt-right frontier. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. You are tuned in on the TFR Radio Network, broadcasting to you from a log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia on White America Radio. Hey folks, and welcome back to Freedom Rings. It is me, Tommy Freedom, coming at you for another 30 minutes here. Now, please let me just forewarn you, I still have the flu, so while my voice is pretty much okay, it's gotten down into my bronchial tubes, so I may go into a fit of coughing from time to time. I do not have a cough button on this microphone, so if you hear some coughing in the background, it's me, and that's why. Apologize ahead of time if it does happen. Hopefully it won't, but I certainly will be glad when this is over and done with, because this has been really taking its toll on my system. I've had the flu now for, this is the second, it's been 2 weeks this weekend past, so it should be out of my system pretty soon here. But getting the flu and then getting food poisoning 2 days apart during the first week before the flu even kicked in, that I'm sure had a lot to do with weakening my immune system. So that's back up. That's good. That looks really good. So anyway, without any further ado, this never fails to happen, folks. The news gets really slow, and I get ready to go back to the Off the Beaten Path series, and then all of a sudden there's all kinds of stuff in the news, and it completely destroys it. And that is exactly what has happened this week. So we're not going to be talking about any states today, and in fact, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to leave this hanging open. If there is a slow Newsweek, then I will insert another state. That way you're never going to know whether a state's coming up or whether some news is coming up. It's going to keep a little more in the variety show issue here. So I think that's what I'm going to do. If there's a slow news week, then I will go to the next state that's in line. How's that sound? That way it kind of works out all the way for everyone. So of course, the first thing I want to talk about is the conviction, woohoo, of Bill Cosby. So finally, after all these trials and tribulations, literally trials and tribulations, he was found guilty on all three counts in this latest case. Now, he's been able to wiggle out of stuff in the past, but this time it didn't work. And the emotion, you could tell, was running high. There were several women that actually had to be removed from the courtroom because they were crying so loudly. Now, these were not women who were part of this case, but they were women who had been abused by Cosby and who were there to testify and show support for the victims who had the courage to come forward and actually press charges against him. And I gotta tell you, folks, I don't know what it would be like to sit there in court and have to relive all of that, but I must say that I would agree that the amount of emotion at the end, that finally you can be free of that, I can't say if that had happened to me that I would not burst into tears upon somebody's conviction like that too, that finally it was over, it was done with, and I could get on with my life. So it's unfortunate that those women had to be removed from the courtroom, but also fortunately for them that they were able to see justice. So we'll wait now to see what happens with his sentencing. He's looking at a maximum of 10 years per offense, which is 30 years, and they're trying to kind of maybe make it a total of 10 years. Either way, he is going to die in prison. So the Jell-O man is going to become a Jell-O pudding pop. How fitting. How truly fitting. So the first story I want to get into is out of the state of Oklahoma, and I'm going to do this first because it's a little bit shorter than the others, but the others are more on a federal level, and this is a local story, but it's something I want to share with you because it's actually kind of humorous, and you're starting to see this happen more and more lately, and I'm going to say it's encouraging because for years people were scared to open their mouths, but the title of this article is "School Apologizes After Student Turns Skit into Racist Meme." Now, there's a picture of this. It's really funny. But school officials in Oklahoma were forced to issue an apology this past Thursday to a black student and his family after one of his classmates posted a photo of him wearing a prisoner's uniform at an assembly with the caption, "Nigger for Auction." Now, apparently, this kid had been playing a part in a comedy skit at the Chandler High School, which is located in Chandler, Oklahoma. And one of his students, fellow students, was watching. He took a pic of this kid up on stage and shared it on Snapchat, along with an image of the Confederate flag. Now, if you haven't seen this, this kid, he's got the bushy afro, he's got a bushy beard, he's wearing a set of striped pajamas. Well, I mean, you know, it's the prisoner's outfit. And he's got his right hand held up to his ear like he's saying, "Huh?" And underneath it is an image of the Confederate battle flag. Actually, it's the Naval Jack. And the caption says, "Nigger for auction in Chandler, Oklahoma. Starting bid, $50. And this didn't go over too well. Apparently, the kid was outed by his followers. And then he was suspended for his actions, according to school officials. Now, there's really nothing wrong with this. I mean, it is freedom of speech. However, apparently because he posted this while it was going on from school, that it became a school issue. But the older sister, apparently this kid's adopted. His older sister is white. And this girl says, "My brother is dressed up for positive peers as they are putting on a production for the school called Teen Forum. He was being taken to jail in this scene, and this is when another student posted. This is just ridiculous. I know bullying happens. I was bullied all throughout school, but it seems to happen a lot more in Chandler schools than it should. I'm not sure if this is a result of piss-poor parenting or if the school needs to do something regarding bullying or both, but this kind of crap isn't acceptable." Well, let me tell you what. What isn't acceptable is what we as white Americans have been forced to endure for the past 30 to 40 years since the Civil Rights Act was put through. Because we are not allowed anymore to post what's on our minds. While it is free thought and free speech, people are offended by it, and they raise all kinds of cane, and a lot of people have been in fear of speaking their minds. And that has changed a lot over the past years. So if there's one positive thing from Donald Trump being elected into office, among all the wonderful things that he's been able to do so far, is that Americans are reaching down inside of their pants, finding some brass, and they're actually standing up for their rights, and they're voicing what's on their minds. You know, people think this stuff, folks. They may have been afraid to speak it, but the thoughts never went away. Now, I remember after Mel Gibson had his meltdown in the Hollywood Hills, of course, he had been consuming copious amounts of alcohol, and he was in recovery, and I had my publicist get in touch with his agent, and I got some contact info for him, and I sent him a lengthy letter explaining how something similar had happened to me. Not the consuming the alcohol, mind you, but speaking my voice publicly. And I reminded him of an old saying, "A drug man's words are a sober man's thoughts." And looking at everything that's been coming out recently, people have been thinking this stuff for years. It did not go away. They were just afraid to say it. And with Trump being elected to office, that is the alcohol that people are using to come out and speak their minds. And it is refreshing to hear people come out and speak about an America that doesn't involve radical Muslims, that doesn't involve illegal immigrants coming into this country and taking it over. It's refreshing to see people stand up for what's theirs and to take this country back. I love it. So while I'm on the issue of taking back, how about getting back? I'm sure everyone here remembers that little stunt that Kathy Griffin played last year when she came out during one of her skits holding a bloodied, severed head of Donald Trump. It was absolutely disgusting. Now, I found this article. It says, Kathy Griffin claims President Trump told her or told federal agents to investigate her. Well, gee, I wonder why. When you come out on stage carrying an effigy of a dead president, or in this case, just his severed head, that might be construed as a death threat, Kathy. And any time a death threat or any kind of a threat whatsoever is made to a public official, most especially the President of the United States, the Secret Service is obligated to investigate. And yes, she committed a crime. Now, that could be kind of, you know, iffy there. She was maybe just making a public statement, freedom of speech. She didn't actually come out and say, I'd love to kill the president. But the underlying message was there, and we all know what it meant. So you reap what you sow, Kathy Griffin. If you're going to bring out the severed head of the president, be prepared for what's going to happen to you. You're going to have to suffer the consequences. Now, this article shows a picture of her, and oh my God, folks. She looks like Annie Lennox. Her red hair is pulled back, so it looks really short. She's got these ears that stick out like Dumbo. That huge honker of hers is taking up her entire face. Her cheekbones are over-accentuated. Her mouth is pulled into this little purse thing, making her bottom lip look huge. And she is pasty white. She looks, I'll tell you, she looks just like Annie Lennox from the Eurythmics. It's absolutely disgusting to look at. I'm going to move that out of there. I can't stand to look at her anymore. So anyway, this article says that comedian Kathy Griffin has claimed that President Donald Trump ordered federal agents to investigate her and make her life miserable in the wake of her ill-considered bloody severed head online post featuring him. Well, yes, as we just discussed, that's what happens. Now, Kathy Griffin later on apologized in the wake of the post when she received a barrage of outrage from both sides of the aisle. I wonder why. But later said she wasn't sorry. Then why even apologize? Just stand your ground. Now, she was speaking on the ABC Start Here podcast with host Brad Mielke. I've heard that name, but I couldn't point him out in a crowd. Now, it says she is also attending tonight's White House Correspondents' Dinner as a guest in what was anticipated to be a showdown with the president. Instead, Trump opted to hold a rally in Michigan, so he obviously doesn't want anything to do with her. Now, it said that was tonight. When is this article dated? Okay, it looks like it was on Sunday. So, yeah, she's just absolutely getting nowhere with this. Now, Mielke asked Griffin about the photo incident. And he says, you were cleared of any wrongdoing by the Secret Service, but you did say the investigation dragged on for months, and you have said this goes all the way to the White House. Are you saying the president was personally directing federal agents to investigate you? To which she replies, of course. So Mielke asks for clarification. You think he said, let's sick those guys on Kathy Griffin? Let's make her life miserable? And she replied, yes. You know how he works. You know. He has a vendetta against certain people. Like I said, it's unprecedented in the history of the United States that a sitting United States president has used the full power of the Oval Office. Huh? First Family, obviously Fox News and the right-wing media, TMZ, which reported my tour cancellations in real time, which has never happened, and put me under a two-month investigation where I possibly could have been charged with conspiracy to assassinate the President of the United States. Well, yeah, you dumb broad. You're holding up a severed head of the President of the United States. Yeah, that looks like conspiracy. And she still doesn't get it. Because she still couldn't resist taking a shot at Sarah Huckabee Sanders. She said, "Trump is so twisted, I have not ruled out the idea that it's going to be Trump just wearing a Sarah Huckabee Sanders skin suit like in Silence of the Lambs, just because, you know, he likes to act like he doesn't care about what people say about him, comedians, celebrities, but he obviously does." What is wrong with her? Can anybody possibly shed some light on this for me? Because I sure as hell cannot figure her out. I mean, she's just espousing all this crazy stuff. She's carrying a severed head. Then she's talking about wearing a skin suit like in Silent of the Lambs. Who is she accusing President Trump of killing and skinning and putting the skin suit on? Is she alluding to the fact that our president is going to skin Sarah Huckabee Sanders and wear that suit? What is wrong with this woman? She is obviously in need of a psychological evaluation, at the very least. And most likely, she needs to be put into an insane asylum and locked away along with the rest of her progressive liberal friends. It boggles the mind, folks. It boggles the mind. But this is what we are dealing with. This is what we're up against. This is how the average progressive liberal thinks. They're nuts. They're totally nucking futs. It's time for a commercial break. I'll be back in a bit. Good God, these people just exasperate the hell out of me.
From now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Hello, this is Attorney Jason Robb. Have you ever thought of remembering the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, your will or trust? We are deeply appreciative of the help and support our friends have given to this important work over the years. The support towards this holy mission of bringing a message of hope and deliverance to our people must continue even after you are gone. Our race, faith, and nation are worth every sacrifice we can make. We must continue the struggle until America has been delivered from the vice of death. Our children are depending on it. Email me at jasonrobb@windstream.net, and I will help you to continue your fight for our future upon your death.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
Join Canadian Association for Freedom of Expression director Paul Fromm for Walking on the Fighting Side of Me. That's The Fighting Side of Me with Canadian Association of Freedom of Expression, Paul Fromm, only on KKKRadio.com.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. You know, that song starts out so, I'm going to say hard and heavy, but so futuristic sounding. You got the keyboards and the guitar, and you just know this is going to turn into a really cool song. And then it just wimps out, and it goes to the typical 80s garbage that was not heavy metal at the time. Totally wimps out. Awesome start, though. It's called Uranium by Zot. If you ever want to make the mistake of looking it up on YouTube, I do believe the video is up, and you will be extremely disappointed. What? No. Okay, folks. George is egging me on here. He wants me to actually play this, the end of this intro and how the song actually starts so you can hear how bad it is. Come on, dude. You're going to ruin one of my good bumpers here. Okay? I don't want any emails over this. Complain to George. Okay, George, are you happy now? You have forever taken what was a decent bumper and completely ruined it in the minds of all the listeners out there because they know now just how crappy the song is that follows it. Sometimes songs have a really good intro or a really good solo, and that's the only part of the song that's good, and this was one of those cases. Once again, send all correspondence to George, not to me. Uh-oh. George has a funny look on his skinny little furry face. What? No, we should not make this... No. Well, okay. George is suggesting that since we have gone down this road, that we should look into music that just doesn't match the genre. Okay, that could be cool, but I mean, that's kind of like a show in and of itself, isn't it? Oh. Well, folks, George has suggested that we extend this for another 30 minutes and make this an hour-long show. Okay. Yeah, I'm up for that. Okay, George. Yes, go ahead and run the special music. You know, I really don't know how I find myself here. I really don't understand how a little 5.5-pound cat can lead me into a different aspect of the show. But again, that's what I get for having my cat produce this show. All right, so what George wants me to do, I guess, is to talk about different genres of music that you wouldn't expect from a certain band or different sounds. I don't know. What exactly are you talking about? Oh, okay. Well, I guess I should start out by saying, what was the first album that you ever remember having? Now, most of you listening to this show understand what the word album means. Now, I can think back to 1980, the very first album that I ever bought, and of course it was an album, it was vinyl, and I am ashamed to admit that it was Phoenix by Dan Fogelberg. Now, at the time, that was, you know, someone living in a disco town, that was kind of, there was a little hard edge to it, and there were some songs on there that were pretty good, namely Face the Fire, which was written about the incident at Three Mile Island and was a pretty good hit for quite some time. So that was my very first record album that I ever bought. But it was not the first record that I ever got. Now, of course, I was handed down a lot of 45s from my older brothers and sisters, which are up in the attic, and I'm sure they're completely ruined by now. But had I brought them down and saved them, they probably would have been worth a lot of money. I know one of them is actually High Hopes by old Blue Eyes himself. But the very first record that I ever remember asking for and getting as a present was this. Now, let me see if you can pick this up, folks. I was, I'm going to say maybe 4 or 5 years old when this was a hit. And for its time, it was the sound was way ahead of its time. But I want you to listen to this and see if you can recognize who this might be and what the name of the song is. And if you do actually remember it, you're an old fart just like me. Yeah, that was Little Willie by The Sweet. Now, in this day and age, that is by no means a hard rockin' tune. But back in, when did that come out, like 73? Something like that? For a little kid to be into that kind of a sound, I mean, that was a new sound that had never been heard before. So I pestered my parents. I wanted Little Willie for Christmas. So come Christmas Day, I opened up the package, and there was the 45 with Little Willie on it. Now, ironically, the backside of Little Willie was a song called Man from Mecca. Why they call it that, I don't know. There's absolutely no mention of Mecca in this song whatsoever. But this song was even harder, and I used to crank my little record player to the max, annoying the crap out of my mother, playing this song. Now, see what you think about this from a four-year-old kid listening to this stuff back in 1963. I meant to say 73. I am not that old. Yet. Now, once again, by today's standards, that was not that hard rockin' of a tune. But keep in mind, back in 72, 73, whenever it was that this came out, this was a new sound. I mean, Little Willie and Man from Mecca by The Sweet. You gotta remember, folks, The Sweet was a flower power band back in the late 60s. They had the white suits, and it was all just really this flower power sound. And for them to come out with those two singles was phenomenal. It was outside the box. It was something that had never been done before. That was followed soon after by a single from Queen that was actually the first speed metal tune that came out in 1974. Now, that song, of course, was Stone Cold Crazy. And it led to the formation years later of bands like Metallica, Slayer, Anthrax, and Megadeth. But the very first speed metal song was put out in 1974 by Queen. So how many other groups have come out of their shell and done some hard rock and stuff? Well, we all know that the Beatles had a single hard rockin' tune, Revolution, which was completely outside of their genre. But a lot of singers and bands back in the 80s jumped on the heavy metal bandwagon. And there were artists that came out with heavy metal tunes that I'll guarantee you've probably never heard, and you would be absolutely shocked to know that they did hard rock or heavy metal. So George is chomping at the bit. He wants me to play some of these things and see if he can guess them. And let's see if you can guess them too, because I'll bet some of these you're just never going to believe are hard rockin' tunes put out by these artists. So I think I'm going to start out with a tune from 1983. This was actually a pretty big hit back in 83. And if you have been around since then, you'll recognize this song. You probably don't know who it is. And even if you do, you won't know the background on this artist or the band that she came from. So, George, go ahead and pull up number one. And go ahead and roll this and see if you, and folks, you too, see if you can figure out who this is. Phil Collins on the drums, by the way. So, once again, this song came out in 1983. This singer went by the name of Frida. And this was a very popular song that, again, was Phil Collins on the drums, and the guitar was none other than Russ Ballard. So this was kind of a good collaboration of these three artists. Now, who exactly was this mysterious Frida? Well, she was none other than Alfreda Langstad, one of the A's in ABBA. Yes, my friends, and yes, George, whose mouth is hanging wide open, this was actually some heavy metal ABBA. Who knew, right? See, the 80s were a really, really weird time for music, folks. And there were so many crossovers that it was hard to keep track of. And many bands that you would have never thought that would have crossed over actually did. And even later on, as late as the early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s, Johnny Cash actually crossed the line. I'm going to play some of that for you later on. There's no way to sneak him in because there's no mistaking his voice. But Johnny Cash actually had a couple of good hard rockin' tunes. And you just would not have expected this from these kind of artists. So, George, I'm going to sneak somebody in here that I'm almost positive you're not going to be able to recognize. And I really don't think any of the audience members will either. But I promise you, you will be shocked beyond belief when you learn who this particular artist is. Now, this first snippet is going to be her typical sound, Broadway stuff. So I want you to listen to this. I want you to get a feel for the voice and the type of music that she's singing. And then, folks, I'm going to shock the living hell out of you.
I am what I am. I am my own special creation. So come take a look. Give me the hook or the ovation. It's my world that I want to have a little pride in. My world, and it's not a place I have to hide in.
Okay, so that was this particular singer's typical voice and the typical music that she did. Now, granted, she's got a beautiful voice, doesn't she? You've got to admit, even if you don't like Broadway or opera, and that was taken from a Broadway musical, you've got to realize that she has a stunningly beautiful voice. And I will actually give you a little hint here. She also has a stunningly beautiful face. Of course, years always catch up with all of us. This was from the 80s. Now, so is this follow-up that she is going to do here. And folks, you are not going to believe that this is the same woman. So brace yourselves. Here she comes. Now, I promise you, this is the same woman that was just singing live on Broadway. Listen to those vocals. Listen to the guitar. Listen to everything that's coming in, those hard, hot, licking sounds. And then, now, listen to the refrain. Are you puzzled? Can you figure it out? I don't think you can. Unless you have heard this song, Rock It Out, and know who sang it, you are never going to figure out who this lady was. You think you can do it, George? Let me give you a hint. She was a very lonely lady, and she had a birthmark shaped like a butterfly. Yes! George actually got it. And in case you didn't, that was, my friends, believe it or not, Pia Zadora. Yes, the same Pia Zadora that starred in both Butterfly and The Lonely Lady. Someone that we typically think of as a Broadway star, singing to pianos and big bands. That was her attempt to come across and do a hard rocking tune, and in my point of view, she nailed it. Rock It Out by Pia Zadora. Now, if any of you honestly pick that up as Pia Zadora, I want you to email me, because I'm willing to throw down a $5 gold. Well, no, I wouldn't say a $5 gold piece, but I'm willing to throw down a quarter here that says that you did not know that was Pia Zadora. I couldn't believe it, folks. When I first saw that video, I was amazed that that little sawed-off blonde Italian was belting out that kind of lyrics to that kind of music. It was absolutely awesome. It was refreshing. But again, that was the 80s when everybody was experimenting with this new sound. And everyone was getting into it. Everyone from every music genre was getting into heavy metal. I mean, Ice-T, the rapper, of course, we all know who Ice-T is. He's a scumbag. But, I mean, he was even getting into heavy metal at one point. Cher. I couldn't believe it. I was watching MTV one night, and Cher was singing heavy metal. I could not believe it. Everyone had crossed the line into the metal genre. Now, some of them stayed there. Most did not, but they at least tried it. And the difference between the original sound and the new sound was incredible. Now, folks, I'm going to play something here, and you will never, ever, ever believe who this is. Well, as soon as you hear him sing, you'll know who it is. But if I were to tell you right now who this was, you would say, dude, he never did anything metal. No, that's not his sound. Well, folks, be prepared to be startled once again as I play an awesome opening to a song. I'm going to cut off before the lyrics begin. I want you to listen to this, and then I'm going to play the lyrics. And I'm almost sure that George is going to pick this up, and I'm sure you will too. And even as you're listening to the lyrics, you're still not going to believe that you are actually hearing this man singing to this type of music. Pretty hot and hard rocket intro, wasn't that? Yeah? And something that you would never expect from this singer. Now, as we're speaking here, his voice is going to come in. Everything is kind of down low here, so that you can't really understand it. But at some point here, I'm going to crank it up, and I want you to listen very carefully to the vocals. My friends, you will be shocked when you hear the voice associated with this particular sound. So have you figured it out? That, my friends, believe it or not, was Michael Bolton. Now, over the years, there have been two white guys who sounded blacker than blacks. The first was, of course, Joe Cocker. The second was Michael Bolton. And this was actually the first Michael Bolton tune that I ever heard. And I was like, oh man, this guy, he's a hard rocker. I love his stuff. And then I heard Doc on the Bay and all the other stuff he did. And oh my God, this guy, he's like this white black, you know? He's a wigger. But it's still a hard rocking tune. And if you want to listen to it, it's called Fool's Game by Michael Bolton. You can find it on YouTube. But again, that's one of those things coming out of left field, folks. No one would have ever expected that tune to come out of the mouth of Michael Bolton. So these first three were completely out of left field. You never expected Piazzadora to have that kind of a hard rockin' tune. Never expected Frida Langstad to have that kind of a hard rockin' tune coming out of ABBA. And certainly, this came totally out of left field for Michael Bolton to do that hard rockin' tune. Now, we do know that there are other artists over the years that have crossed this line and did so very successfully and very publicly. Now, one that comes to mind is The Call. Now, if you grew up in the 80s, you all know who The Call was. They were New Wave, and their lead singer tried to emulate the Talking Heads. And it kind of went along the same way, but it was kind of stupid too. And The Call really, they had a couple of hits. but it was a sound that just, it didn't match, okay? They seemed to be a bunch of clowns until they came out with their crossover hit. Now, let me give you a taste of what the typical call was, and then let me give you a sound from their crossover. And folks, you will be amazed. Well, that was pretty typical of the new wave back in the 80s, wasn't it? It was music that it didn't make any sense. It didn't have any good tunes to it. Now, I look back on this, and I can appreciate it more now as I'm older. But by the same token, back then, I mean, you were either listening to metal or you were listening to something else. And this definitely came into the realm of something else. So in 1988, when The Call made their crossover, I was absolutely astonished and amazed. I was so used to hearing the stuff that they had like this. It was like the Talking Heads. It was horrible. It was crap. But when they came out with Let the Day Begin, I was absolutely floored. Now, I use the intro for this for one of my bumpers, so I'm not going to run that through here, but I want you to listen to the solo on this. This is this band. I don't even know what to describe it as. I don't even know how to label it with their crossover. I want you to listen to this because it's got bass guitar and it's got a slide guitar with a riff that just completely takes over. And slide guitar has always been little used in rock and roll. It's been used a lot in blues, but very little in rock and roll. So for them to cross over with the hard sound and using the slide guitar on top of it, it was completely unique, folks. So take a listen to this. Does that sound like the same band to you? You see, that was the beauty of the crossover back in the 80s, that these bands that had nothing to do with heavy metal or hard rock came through with these singles that were just absolutely phenomenal. Now, one night I was listening to the radio, and I don't know, it was about 11:30 at night, and it was a progressive rock station. This has just been a few years ago. And the DJ said, up now, Rusty Cage by Johnny Cash. And I'm thinking to myself, what in the world are they doing playing Johnny Cash on a rock station? And the song started. And initially I was like, yeah, this is still kind of country. There's a little bit of depth to it, but nothing much. And then all of a sudden, the whole sound changes. Now, listen to the introduction here, the way it starts. I'm going to bring you into where it actually changes over. And I think you'll appreciate the style.
You wired me awake and hit me with a hand of broken nail. You tied my lead and pulled my chain to watch my blood begin to boil. But I'm gonna break. I'm gonna break my rusty cage and run. I'm gonna break. I'm gonna break my rusty cage and run.
Okay, so that starts out rather country sounding. This is actually off of CMT. It's a music video off of CMT. So it has that kind of country sound, a little bit of bass piano in there and some guitars. But then what happens is, let me just add, by the way, that Tom Petty is the lead guitarist on this song. And all of a sudden you're going to hear the whole style of this song change into a rock tune.
I'm gonna break my rusty cage and run. When the forest burns along the road like God's eyes in my headlights, when the dogs are looking for their bones and it's raining ice picks on your steel shore.
Now, you could hear how the whole tone just instantly changed. And the whole second half of that song, which you're listening to right now, I mean, if you listen to this, folks, this almost sounds like something that you would expect to hear at a biker bar somewhere in Daytona Beach.
Cage and run. I'm gonna break. I'm gonna break my. Gonna break my rusty cage and run. I'm gonna break. I'm gonna break my. Gonna break my rusty cage.
So now that was pretty hard rocking for Johnny Cash. Again, this is where some of these artists decided to make this crossover into the harder sound. Now, what I'm going to play for you next, you're not even going to believe is Johnny Cash if you didn't hear his voice. And I swear this is a collaboration between One Bad Pig and Johnny Cash. This is for real, folks. This is Johnny Cash singing Fast Punk.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash. Well, you wonder why I always dress in black, why you never see bright colors on my back, and why does my appearance seem to have a somber tone? There's a reason for the things that I have on.
I wear the black and the poor and beaten down, living in the homeless, hungry side of town. I work for the prisoner who is long paid for his crime, but he's there because he's a victim of the times.
Well, I wear the black for those who never read or listened to the words that Jesus said.
So I'm going to venture a guess. That is a sound that you never expected to hear from Johnny Cash. Never thought you'd hear anything like that. I certainly never did. That was actually sent to me by someone. I had put in a comment on how I liked Rusty Cage, and was there anything out there that was hard like that? And somebody actually sent me a link to that. I was like, oh my God, that is just so completely unlike Johnny Cash. But again, folks, that just shows how people make that crossover from stuff that can be completely boring to something that has a good edge to it. And over the years, the edge of rock and roll has tended to shine through from other genres of music. Okay, well, that concludes the digression from the topic at hand that we initially started out with. Thank you very much, producer George. So I have just enough time here to go over an article that I came across. Now, it's entitled, Two New Jersey High School Students Suspended for Going to Gun Range After School. Now, folks, you're going to absolutely just, you're going to get as riled as me over this. Lacey Township School District in central New Jersey suspended two high school students after Snapchat pictures showed them at a gun range outside of school hours. Now, attorney Daniel Schmutter with the Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs said a lawsuit might be pending since the pictures were non-threatening and not alarming in any way. The two students were simply at a gun range after school hours. Not only that, folks, they were there over the weekend. I actually found this on YouTube, so I've got more than what this article says here, but let me just conclude the article and then follow you up on it. Schmutter indicated in a letter to Lacey Township School District that suspending the two students for posting photos off school grounds and unrelated to school activities was a very serious violation of their rights. Yeah, no kidding. Now, after the incident, the straight-A students returned to school but were not permitted to go to class. And Lacey Township School District follows the Safe Schools Initiative and Zero Tolerance for Guns Act. Their own policy enforces zero tolerance policy for any students who have weapons in their possession on or off school grounds. Whoa. Do you see what's going on there, folks? You see the problem with that? School policy is not the law. School policy may only be enforced during school hours, going to or from school, or school activities, any activities on school grounds, or any school-related activities off of school grounds. I'm sorry, but going to the gun range on the weekend on your own time does not constitute being on school grounds. Now, after this article was published, the whole thing was scrapped. I mean, the town came to the rescue of these two kids, and rightfully so. They spoke at the school board meeting, and you wouldn't believe what these folks were throwing at them. These jackasses didn't even know what was in their own policy. Well, as soon as they were made aware of what was in their policy and that they were facing a possible lawsuit over it, they immediately changed the policy. Those two kids are now back in school. But that is the problem, number one, with being New Jersey, as anti-gun as it is. But amazingly, even though the state is anti-gun, it seems a lot of people are still pro-gun in the state of New Jersey. So when you look at this, where does something like that even come from? I mean, this has to be penned in the middle of the night and snuck in with something, or these people just don't bother to read their own policies, which I think is the case. The ones that signed them didn't read them, and the ones that came in never took the time to bother to read what was school policy for the district that they're representing. And that is typical of your bureaucrats and your politicians today. They are not aware of the law. They are not aware that some of their laws violate the laws, and this was a clear example of that. Now, luckily, it came through in the students' favor, but can you imagine facing a one-year suspension from school for going to the gun range during the weekend on your own time? That's what this country's come down to, folks. That is what we're looking at if we do not take it back very, very soon. So on that note, I'm going to leave out of here. I will be back next week. If you want to get in touch with me, as always, you may do so by emailing me at Tommy Freedom Rings. So until next time, my friends, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.